a lot of times when we think about this country, we talk about public and private freedoms that many people who are visiting are seeing and enjoying, so we're glad about that. But religious freedom really seems to be at the heart of the founding of this country, because if you look at the very earliest peoples that came, you know, the Pilgrims, the Catholics that came and settled Maryland, the groups that settled Pennsylvania, a lot of them were escaping governments that wanted to tell them how to worship God. And so from that, the seeds of this country were born. So we have to look at when we celebrate this country and recognize that really religious freedom, the right to pray in public, was fundamental and one of the fundamental reasons that America began to grow and then become independent and then to flourish, at least in my opinion. What say you?
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I mean, an example of, you know, you talk about religious freedom and we hear that, but I mean, we think about our own St. John Henry Newman, right? When he converted to Catholicism, had to give up his university professorship. So that's something we certainly wouldn't want to do. I mean, that was in England, right? And so there, you talk about a separation of church and state, which we talk about, and maybe we push that too much, to be sure. But what we wouldn't want is something like that, right? Where somebody converts, again, John Henry Newman converts to Catholicism and has to give up his university chair because it's not the state religion. So when we talk about religious freedom, I don't know, that I just want to frame that. Like, there's a sense of that's what not religious freedom would look like. And certainly we could look at theocracy in the Middle East with the Islamic religions where they're heavily influenced, and that's a whole different ballgame because Islam is comfortable with theocracy and Christianity is not, but there can still be a state religion, and that's where I point to England and say that's we certainly wouldn't want that. But one of the things I would say about and you're right, the whole idea of separation, it's freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. And I think just pushing God out of everything is probably not what was intended, and not really for the health of our country. I mean, I think Pope Benedict tried to articulate that. And when he went to England, there were four real pivotal homilies, talks that he gave. And one of them was in England. And he was talking about how he encouraged legislators there to allow religion to have a place in the public life. And the thing he mentioned about that, he said that if, you know, faith and reason working together, because if there's no reason, there's no reason involved, then there can be the tyrant, right? Because nobody's critiquing him on what he's doing poorly, and he's just manipulating everybody because there's no use of reason. But if there's no faith involved, then the rights of the individual can get trampled, right? Because we're made in the image and likeness of God. And so I think that was interesting, a great point that Benedict makes, that both of them have a place in the public square, and it is for the public good that they both do. You're protected from the tyrant, and you're protected from running down, trampling individual rights or seeing, you know, individual lives as somehow less valuable and whatnot, which you might fall into more easily if you didn't have that faith component reminding everybody how precious people are individually. So, I mean, they both need to be there. I think one of the things with the founding of our country, which is, it's a great country. I love being here. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. But you also, to be the best, you continue to do that. If you want your country to flourish, you want to look at the shortcomings and what can we do to get around them or at least manage them. And I think one of the things with the founding of our country, it was a product of the Enlightenment, right? Mm-hmm. And so they had the French Revolution and then our revolution shortly after that. Very different, to be sure. Very different, but this was these were ones based on ideas, right? Not somebody taking over land, but ideas. And those Enlightenment ideas are kind of baked in the cake for us as far as our founding documents. And one of the big things I would say is this: that in this country, government tends to be protective and not directive. In other words, our governments don't tend to say, "Hey, look, this is the good way of life and pursue it." It says, I'm going to try to protect the playing field so that you can do what you want, right? Mm-hmm. So we talk about freedom and that word rolls so easily off of our tongues, but that's that's a big word, because, you know, we can use our freedom well or we can use it poorly, right? I mean, you can do a lot of things with freedom. So just to say, well, we're free. Okay, well, that only starts it. I mean, you know, to go back to the World Cup, the Europeans, or not even the Europeans, everybody in the world has come here and been enamored with us and everything else, right? Well, it's not just because we're free that these things happened. It's because people use their freedom well, right, to design these things, to commit to building these things, whatever else. So just to say, we're a free country. Okay. And, like, that's the playing field. What are you going to do with it, right? And so, so I think the idea that does become, I mean, I don't say it's a problem, but a shortcoming, like, that our governments tend to be protective and not directive. Like, yeah, we do want them to protect our rights and protect those things, but we also would want them to direct us to a way of life that is flourishing. And I'll give you a small example of that, which is really benign, but still it's something. The mortgage interest rate deduction. Well, that's government encouraging home ownership. I mean, call it what you will, but that's the government, because it's a government idea. I mean, that's not going to happen unless the politicians vote on an interest rate deduction, and a deduction for interest rate, for mortgage interest rates, which they do. Well, that is a way that, you know, that government is encouraging a way of life. And that's what I'm saying. It's not that we don't have it at all. I just don't know that it's that prominent. So, and that's just something to deal with us as uniquely as Americans. So we tend to have a less involved government, to be sure, but also one that doesn't really direct us to, like, here's the good. And I think it does manifest itself sometimes in what do you, like, against the marriage case, right? Like, well, what is marriage? Well, of our government that is really more emphasizing, we protect everybody's individual, whatever. It's hard for them to define, well, here's a social good. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll do with the mortgage interest rate deduction, because it's not that controversial. But then we're going to talk about the ordering of society as far as what does it mean to be a human being and how do you structure that? Like, well, we're a little bit leery to do that, right? Because the nature of the beast is protective and not directive. So anyway,
it's a good point. And in using your example, it's not forcing people to get married, have kids, buy a house, you know, from the strong arm, you know, reaching down. Rather, it's here's the free will, here's opportunity. You'll be rewarded for making these good choices. And I think maybe that's where this mixture of freedom on the palate becomes a little bit more, let's say, easier in America. Because I think of other countries that call themselves democracies and propose freedoms, but under, a little bit, a lot in some cases, you know, China, the authoritarian hand. I even think of a place like Turkey. Could you go open a storefront Baptist church in the middle of Istanbul and not be harassed, maybe by the population, probably by the government, or not even get the right permit to do that? I think other countries propose that they have these freedoms, like they kind of wear the cloak of the freedoms, but they don't really offer the playing field, as you say. And so I think that's where it becomes very obvious to people that visit America.
Right. And so, I think that, as I mentioned, the emphasis today needs to be to use your freedom well. And, and I don't know that that's always, I don't know that that's always the case, to use our freedom well. I'm just going to say, as the time, and it's, I mean, we can all see this as times become more prosperous, or we forget about things like, the Cold War and things like that. People will more easily look to, well, wait a minute, the idea that I've always been in peacetime and I've never had to struggle and all those kind of things, then people, I think, become a little more presumptuous. Like, well, I should do this. My parents have this way of living. I should automatically jump into this way of living. No, your parents worked 30 years to get where they are with home ownership and everything else. You don't automatically jump into that, right? I mean, it's something that we gradually work towards. So that sense about things, I think, sometimes we lose sight of that. You know, when we're a relative peacetime, when we're a country that doesn't have enemies immediately on our borders or anything like that, we lull into that sense of entitlement, right? Which doesn't bode well for us using our freedom well. Getting back to that, I mean, I think that that's something that everybody should recognize. Our country is a great country, but it's not just automatically great. It's great because people use their freedom well, and that's on a day-to-day basis, right? Making virtuous decisions and trying to contribute to the common good and all those things, which I think is important. And that's what our country affords us the opportunity to do.
It does.
There are opportunities. That's all there is, opportunities. So am I going to seize on those opportunities or not? You know, that's the question. So
I think, too, what happens is when we don't have big enemies at the gate, we create drama within the borders. And it seems like that's been going on for some time. And people will push the boundaries. Well, I have free will. I live in freedom, not understanding that it's also a responsibility. And so they'll just go off the deep ends, as we've seen happen here with some crazy things going on in our culture, because a lot of people are like, oh, things have changed so much. It's the internet. Well, I think to your point, we've lived in relative freedom. Any conflicts have been far away from us, and we all as a population haven't had to experience them. So we're going to create drama because we are just, as Todd would say, the human sinfulness rises to the top here.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, we're kind of bored in some sense, and we need to do something.
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, the something should be living a most excellent life, giving yourself to the other, you know?
Yes.
Contributing to the common good. And that doesn't always translate as the first thing that needs to happen for people. So, yeah.
Well, we will pray. And can you give us a blessing before you leave?
Sure. May Almighty God bless all who are listening. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.